Congressman Raja is joining us right now, Raja Krishnamurthy. He is from, well, Illinois, in the western and northwestern suburbs of Illinois. And let us talk about the Paycheck Protection Flexibility Act, because there are a lot of our folks, people listening right now, who have been affected in not such a pretty way by what has happened here, because as all of course, we know, all the pavers on the road to hell say good intentions on them. Isn't that right, Congressman? Right?
Well put, my friend. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So as a result, there are a lot of people who got left in the dust, especially gig workers, that next iteration of paycheck protection, people that were going out and trying to get money back for people who lost their jobs because they work in gigs. They work for themselves, essentially, and they go out and they work every day. They're contractors on some level. And sometimes big levels, sometimes they're, and when everything stops down, they can't get paid. What are you doing in Washington right now to help the rest of us back here in Chicago?
Thank you so much, Ro. We've talked about PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, a number of times. It was designed in a way to help small business people survive this pandemic as we put the economy into a, you know, medically induced coma. But we found that there are some challenges, not only with the implementation, but with the underlying legislation. So we're trying to fix that today in a bipartisan way. Here are a couple of the elements, and there are others, but here are two important ones. One is, you know, before we required that 75% of the loan proceeds be spent on payroll and non-payroll expenses be capped at 25%. Well, we're eliminating that particular cap at 25% because, quite frankly, a lot of businesses spend more than 25% on non-payroll expenses, and so we want to keep them going as well. The other issue that's come up, and it's become a big issue, especially for restaurants, is that the covered period during which you have to spend the proceeds, the loan proceeds, is 8 weeks now. Well, that doesn't work if you're closed for 8 weeks due to the stay-at-home orders. So now we're trying to extend it all the way to December 31 so you can actually use the proceeds during the time when you're open. And so these are certain tweaks or fixes that I think are necessary, and thankfully it's going to be done on a bipartisan basis.
One of the senses I've gotten, though, is that Republicans are reticent to throw a lot more money at this. That is what I've seen in terms of, you know, as I watch Republican leadership on television the last couple of days. Do you think they'll go along with restaurants all the way through the end of the year?
You know, I think so. You know, I gotta say that, you know, restaurants have just taken it on the chin, as you know. Hospitality in general has, but restaurants in particular. And I think that, you know, every single one of us, Democrats and Republicans, have a lot of restaurants in our districts, and we know that they are going through hell right now. So this is a change that's necessary. I think there's going to be a big bipartisan majority for it.
Okay. Let's talk about the bill that went up just about a week ago. I don't know. It might have been a week ago. It could have been 2 years ago. I'm not sure. I've lost total track of time, as you have, Congressman. But the bill that was shot down by Republicans and Mitch McConnell said it had no chance, Nancy Pelosi is a wish list. You're a moderate Democrat. What did you think about that bill? Was it too much of an overreach? And what was wrong with it, if anything?
So I think the centerpiece, the item that had the biggest price tag in that was the aid to state and local governments, Roe. And I felt very strongly that we had to have it in there because I got to tell you, man, I'm getting text after phone call after email from every single mayor in my district. And these guys aren't Republicans or Democrats. They're mainly nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. And they're basically saying, look, if you don't help us out because we're not seeing the revenues that we did before due to commerce drying up, we're going to have to lay off police, firefighters, EMS and public health related people vital to the pandemic, fighting the pandemic. And that's just not an option, Ro. And last time we did this was 2008. I don't know if you remember, but Republicans really objected to helping states and local governments. And they ended up laying off 2 million people. And that deepened the recession. And we can't afford that this time.
So the mayors of, you have part of Naperville, right, in your district? if I'm not mistaken?
I don't go that far south, but I have everything from O'Hare to Elgin and then Wheeling all the way down to parts of Oak Brook.
Okay, so that's the when you look at that on the map, I mean, that's a lot of not just small little hamlet suburbs. Those are some major suburbs that have real police and fire needs. So that's a serious issue. What do you think is going to happen there? Are they going to be able, or is there a chance for some sort of a bipartisan answer?
I believe so, only because I know in my gut that just as I'm getting these constant messages from largely nonpartisan mayors and village trustees and so forth, I know my Republican colleagues are getting the same. And they got to be thinking to themselves, we got to do something for these people. We can't have them lay off all these first responders. And so my belief is that it will happen once the rhetoric cools down a little bit, but it has to happen. We can't not do this, in my opinion.
Okay. And I want to get back to the gig workers here, Congressman, because that's what we're hearing from. We're hearing a lot from gig workers. And when we do these segments about, you know, how can we help you, that's primarily now what it's turned into. Because there are a lot of businesses that we've heard about that have gotten the PPP and you know, they're going along and they're chugging along with it and trying to make you know, everything work. But the gig workers are the ones that really feel screwed here because they were promised something a couple of weeks ago and they're not getting it. So what can Washington do for them?
So you're absolutely right. They've gotten a raw deal, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Basically, what they were told is either you could get unemployment compensation or you could get PPP. And it ended up that at least at the start of it and for much of the last couple months, they haven't been able to access either. So finally, a lot of states, including Illinois, created a separate website just for gig workers to get unemployment compensation. We have it in Illinois. Thankfully, it kind of works, actually, and people are able to access important resources there. To his credit, Governor Pritzker created a separate website so they didn't get bottlenecked with the usual W-2 workers and unemployment insurance. So that's what's happening now. At the federal level, I believe we should offer more technical help and potentially more resources in that regard.
I can tell you, though, it's not working. I mean, we hear it day in and day out. I even have people in my family who are trying to avail themselves of that or are gig workers, and it is not working. Getting into the system, holding in the system, getting registered in that system, in that gig worker system, is not working. And I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what the state people at IDES are saying. It's, oh, no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. It's not. And as much as people, we live, Congressman, in this world of now alternate reality where, yes, you know, a politician can say something, a boldface misstatement, a lie, whatever it is, and get away with it. And I'm not going to let that happen here because, and I'm not saying you are, but I'm just saying that those who are saying that this system is working need to be called to account because it is not. And I could open up the phone lines and give you 1,000 examples of it within an hour. And that's just not doable. And I don't know what they're going to do. And they have a mess. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Can I suggest one thing? If anybody needs help in that regard, please contact me. My number is 847-413-1959. We've had literally hundreds, if not now over 1,000 people contact us on this very subject. And so we will do our best to try to navigate. It's incredibly frustrating. They've gotten a raw deal. Let's see if we can try to make things just a little bit better or accessible.
All right. Well, thank you for doing that, Congressman. Let's hope that works. But I know that there's a limited thing that, I mean, your office can't go fix the computer system, right? Can it? I mean, how much pressure can you put on the state?
I'm not very good at that myself, but you know, I think that this is like something that absolutely has to work because you know, quite frankly, we're getting calls of desperation at this point. You know, people are calling in for food aid, food assistance, and it's especially sad when they have children in the family too. And so these are people that were, by the way, you know, this road, they were doing really well 4 months ago. And their economic futures look as bright as can be, and then all of a sudden this happened, and their lives have changed completely. So we have an obligation to help them, absolutely.
Right. It's a car accident. I get it. It's a car accident.
Sir.
But
yes,
how
sir.
We respond yes, to the car accident is really the
yes,
question.
Sir.
And the governmental response to this car accident is first, then how businesses respond is, you know, how they adjust, and they will. And that's the beauty of the American system, as you know, Raja, because this is, you know, this is a land of opportunity. And it's a land of opportunity because we allow businesses to have the modularity and the flexibility to be able to do what they need to do. And we're innovative.
Yes.
And we will, and the private sector will innovate out of this. But in
yes.
order to do that, if we want to bring everybody with us and keep people as safe as possible along the way, we got to really be smart about it. And I know
yes.
that sometimes government work doesn't, not always the brightest people are designing the things, but and it's done, you know, for political purposes often. This is where the rubber is really going to hit the road here in Illinois.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
we is these small businesses and gig workers, and that's a big number. And if they that's going to drag this economy even deeper into debt than it is. So Raja, do your
that's
best.
Right.
Go represent us
yes,
and
sir.
Do something right in Washington D.C. right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got it.
All right.
Whatever you need, let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy. See, we do Democrat, Republicans, we got them all. We try to got to crack the whip every once in a while. Just got to get people moving. And I'm telling you, you know it. You know it. That if you have somebody in your family, or you are a gig worker, or you have friends who've got kids, or I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how screwed up that system is. And you can't, again, this is through no fault of any individual. So it is a merciful and a humane and an appropriate thing to do. Because if you just say, well, you know, too bad. They should have had full-time jobs, or they should own businesses, or, you know, they should have been independently wealthy. And there are some people out there who are saying that. And not many of them, but there are a few people who think that. They don't realize what that is going to result in, because you're going to have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Illinoisans completely screwed in this deal, without money, can't pay for groceries, will lean on the social services, and then that system is just not strong enough to handle it. So, well, I hope the Congress is right. We can get some stuff done.